The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead
us. I'm always listening to the National Intel Report, John Stapmiller's program, and I was asked to sit in for John. He's a little bit under the weather. So we're in our final second hour, and we've been talking to Art off the grid in Georgia. Is there anything else? We have other callers, Art. Did you want anything else? I do agree. That interview with Aaron Russo is really important, and it's all over YouTube. It used to be anyway.
And because I wanted to make sure I got the man's name right. That was an interview with who again?
Aaron Russo was interviewed. Oh, you're talking about Christopher Boland.
That's it. Christopher
Boland. And that's just as mind-blowing. It. Christopher Boland, the man who solved 9/11. Boy, and he's B-O-L-L-Y-N.
All right. Thank God, because I haven't, that's the first I've heard of that interview. I want to go back and, I was really like, wow, okay. So I want to go back and I want to listen to that again. But
yes.
That's Christopher Boland, the man who solved 9/11.
Right. I just want the listeners to know what's so interesting about that is instead of trying to figure out exactly how they did it, he looked at it from the point of view of it being a crime and who covered up the crime. Okay, and most of us who looked at the 9/11 realized that the cameras were eliminated in Washington near the Pentagon immediately, so there were no cameras. So who was in control of that? The debris from the building was carted off. It was all planned ahead of time to get rid of the evidence. He goes through the whole thing step by step as far as who covered it up and who prevented a real investigation into the crime from ever occurring. It blows your mind. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, there it is. You know, he did solve who did 9/11. No question in my mind at all. Okay, I guess Art signed off. Richard from Alabama. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah. The point that disturbs me the most is the way the legal profession changed their rules of court concerning wrongful death and grand juries, including state grand juries, to just at 9 a.m., at the time the planes hit the buildings, at just that time, they changed the rules on wrongful death lawsuits and changed the rules on grand jury proceedings. Change them all over the country. That is enormous power. That is the International Monetary Fund.
Yep.
That is a claimant to Rule 12.
Yep. Yeah, and when you look at it, Richard, and you go back, and I don't think Christopher Boland, bless his heart, he's done so much good research, but if you go back to 1933, you go back to the founding of the Federal Reserve, you go back to what Michael Rivero said about all wars are bankers' wars, okay? You're going to find it's the same perpetrators that took over our monetary system with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, which was the Rothschild minions. Then you look a little further, you realize that it was the Rothschilds who established Israel. Then you look a little further and you realize that the Great Depression was caused by these same people. You look a little further and you see that in 1938, they changed the court system and eliminated common law in federal court. So, you know, as you'll see these footprints go across our country, then you go up to 1979 and read Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And they bring Rothschilds out again in that. They absolutely, the same criminals that have been walking across this country since probably before, but at least we can prove since the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. I hope you agree.
Yes, I do. And they've changed the whole nature of the legal profession.
Yes.
Now they're all in contract law.
Yes.
They'd never get out of the contract, and the contract is not really an American contract. It's related to the definition of the so-called dollar, and they never use the word dollar anymore. We do. We are still using it out of habit. But they don't use that word. What they have is units of... units of credit.
Yeah.
And they've got the world financial system all consolidated under control of this International Monetary Fund, this trust that apparently owns all of our property tax bonds, all of our mortgages, including the ones that are paid off. And they've got a claim so that they can come into an American court and bring suit against our land. And they may have already done that. Maybe that's why we're flooded with illegal aliens. Maybe is called eviction.
Well, I'll tell you, back in 1933, and if you look at Jim Traficant submitted a report to Congress in 1993, okay, in the Congressional Record, it's on my website on the source document page. Mm-hmm. He admitted that they hypothecated, put up as collateral, basically, all the property in America, including the national parks and the nonprofit organizations. Mm-hmm. Because the Great Depression, the bankers came in and said, well, we'll save you. We'll save you even though you're bankrupt. But to do that, we want as collateral the future earnings of all the American people, all the property, and they believe that they stole it all fair and square in 1933.
That's right. They have a security interest. They have the right to bring the claim, Rule 12.
In their courts.
Yes. It's their contract. They designed it. It's their court. It's Vice Admiralty International. And the legal profession is making so much money that they're not going to complain about it.
No, and they're not going to tell the people the truth about it either, are they?
No, ma'am. No.
No. I mean, I went to several closings. I spent a short stint as a realtor. And I went to several closings with lawyers. People brought their lawyer to the closing. They paid good money for him to be there. And when we handed the document, the mortgage document, even though it said right on it that the buyer was the tenant, the lawyer just said, this is standard. Go ahead and sign it. And that was it.
Yeah. You consented to the fiction that you thought you were buying a usage.
Yes.
Not the land, but the use of the land.
Yes. That's right.
And you confirm that when you go to the courthouse and classify your property. You choose a classification. Farm, or residence, or commercial, whatever. You choose a usage.
And
you confirm you don't own it.
Without that Emergency Banking Act of 1933, without Congress's ability or willingness to pass that. They could not. They needed that authority to suspend the Constitution, put the country in bankruptcy, and create a whole new legal system, and that is what they did. And most lawyers are still unaware that there was a bankruptcy in 1933. Hardly any lawyers, they're not taught that. Nor are they taught about Senate Report 93549. They don't know about that either. So they still somehow believe that we have due process and a Bill of Rights, even though their clients keep losing and losing and losing. It's like they can't quite figure out why the system doesn't work, why there's no justice, but I don't know what to say. They're brainwashed, right?
No, they're pretending to be stupid. If you can pretend to be stupid, then your crime may be excused.
Well, you have to admit, it's a pretty hard stretch for all the members of Congress to continue to support and promote the bogus 9/11 story that was told to the public. I mean, that story falls apart in a heartbeat. But they do, don't they?
They won't discuss the subject.
Nope.
They'll just say, wouldn't you like to have a new school, a new football stadium? Wouldn't you like to have something that costs money? They'll change it around.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling in. We got other callers. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Richard?
No, that's fine.
Okay, thank you for bringing that in. The International Monetary Fund is a big part of this, big player in this game. Okay, let's hear from Wayne in Texas. Wayne, are you there?
Hi, Al. Glad to have you on tonight.
Thank you.
I grew up in Ohio, so I can feel your pain. I know what you're going through.
It's cold.
Yeah. Hey, I was calling because I was going to talk to John today about that very article you mentioned from your website, the Robert DiNacci article about where Trump did roll over the state of emergency as of September 14th, 2018.
Right.
So my first question is, and I have a couple of them, if we're already in this alleged state of emergency, why are we going through this kabuki dance in Washington where everybody's discussing, well, you can't do it, he doesn't have the power to do it, or he shouldn't do it, but the emergency already exists on paper. Why can't he invoke it to put this wall up and get that all going?
He could. But apparently he's not got the political clout, or maybe the people who are controlling his purse strings are saying no. And who's controlling his purse strings? It's not Congress, it's the banks.
Oh, sure.
You and I know it's the oligarchs that control the money system. And if they don't want it done, well, let's just say what happened to Kennedy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we understand he went down the wrong path on that one to cost him. So, but, yeah, I kind of figured that's the case. I figured it was a political ploy involved, or maybe they're trying to position some troops or something, but... But again, we're all aware, RBN listeners are aware we're already in this emergency. That's why it's such a joke to listen to all this debate on TV about, whether he can do it or not. So, but
yes.
Now, my other question is this. If he does have these broad powers already in effect, why is it that anything he does is subject to review by the Ninth Circuit or one of these other courts? What's the legal principle involved here?
I'm not aware of that. My research indicated that he shares authority with the Secretary of Treasury, and the Secretary of Treasury is really a representative of the International Monetary Fund, not a part of the U.S. government per se. You can get that information from a website, 31 Questions and Answers About the Internal Revenue. They tried to track back where taxes goes, and when he did his investigation, he did a good job, the author of that. He came down to the end of the road. Where do taxes go? Well, they go to the Federal Reserve, racketeering, okay? That's where they go. So in 1920, they turned over the Treasury to the Federal Reserve Bank with the passage of the Independent Treasury Act. So whenever they tell you that it's the Secretary of Treasury, you have to substitute there the fact that the Treasury was turned over to the international bankers. And it's their permission that he needs. It is, they are the watchdogs of what he can do and what he can't do.
But even Trump has mentioned on various interviews that there is some concern about the one of these courts overturning him, much like he had to go through when he was trying to put in the, was that whole thing about bringing in asylum seekers from, like, various countries, like, in the Middle East, you know, and that he had to fight through the courts to get that done. I think he had to go to the Supreme Court. But I just try to, I'm trying to figure out why, if he has all these powers, why a bunch of knuckleheads in some court that's very liberal can overturn it, whereas if we were going to be invaded by, say, an ISIS army or the Chinese from the southern border, you know, if he tried to do an emergency powers deal, he'd have to wait for the court to okay it, which seems so ludicrous to me. It's ridiculous.
Well, it seems to me that during the Bush administration, remember, he was trying to do some things and he was waiting to get permission from Ashcroft. So it seems to me that the Department of Justice and the Attorney General is the one who tells them, again, there's always an attorney, right? The Attorney General says, right, well, you can do this and you can't do that. Even in my state, policies, the Attorney General can tell the governor what he can and cannot do. So they've got attorneys in key places throughout the government who convince those who get elected that we're the ones who can tell you what you can and cannot do.
Well, we're under war power situation, too. So when you think of some of these military terms, like these generals that are our attorneys, you know, it kind of makes sense that maybe the legal, so-called legal system is running the show and that the executive branch has nowhere near the power we think it is.
Exactly. He's a puppet doing someone else's, you know, whatever. And I personally think he came in trying to convince the people that he was going to restore America first, and everybody, economically, most people who are paying any attention at all were, like, thrilled. Oh, my gosh. But, again, Obama made all promises before he got elected. Does anybody remember? He was going to bring the boys home from Iraq and Afghanistan. He was going to have a transparent government, you know. Before they get elected, they say all of this stuff that... it just sounds so good. People keep going back to the polls. They keep signing up to be citizens to vote. Because, oh gosh, this guy's going to fix it. And how many times do we fall for that? I'm just shocked.
Well, I think what it boils down to, and there's a fellow who was on a Deanna Spagnola show a few weeks ago. His name is Daniel Estulin, E-S-T-U-L-I-N. And he is an author, and I think he has like a Soviet background even, but he's analyzed the United States for some time, and his opinion is the whole battle is between the globalists from both parties and the banking system, legal system, whatever, versus the populace that Trump is trying to rally to make some severe changes in the country. And it's not political parties versus each other. It has more to do with the global factions, the globaloney factions, I call them, in each party, that are holding him back. And you can see the Ryans, the McConnells, and some of these other knuckleheads that are always, you know, they never back Trump. They're always, you know, throwing little obstacles in his way. And I kind of feel like what this fellow has to say is pretty positive as far as the understanding what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, I did follow him for a while. He believed in peak oil. And when I did my research on that, that was another bogus, bad science. But if you go to No More News, and it's K-N-O-W, No More News, there's a wonderful researcher by the name of Adam Green. And Adam Green tracked down all the connections between Rothschilds and Trump. So was no accident that he got elected. Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
To get excited. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it.
Did you have any else you wanted to add, Wayne? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. We have Mark from Georgia, another guy from Georgia. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, Georgia, which is the Greek word for farmer.
Ah.
So some good seeds. Today I appeared in court again, and I have given much prayer to it, and I'm going to tell, I'm very seriously going to tell the judge I am under duress, and if I tell the truth that what we have is a plutocratic fraud in our current form of government is party and profits from the fraud of claiming that Federal Reserve notes are lawful money. They're anything but, and it has had a corrupting influence on everything it touches, and I cannot, you know, I can't not tell the truth about this. And the truth is that when you claim that fines and fees as a means of revenue is legitimate, I'm sorry, it's not. And it's not legitimate to tell us that we, the people, owe $21 trillion that aren't even backed by paper. And the truth is our fiat monetary system is backed by lawless bloodshed against countries like Libya that had done nothing to threaten us harm. So one thing I'm going to ask of you, I'm going to prepare a YouTube video, and having given it, you can tell I've given all this a lot of prayerful thought. I'm going to call it lawful contempt. That means I don't have contempt for lawful authority. I have morally legitimate contempt for the unlawful presumption of authority to tell me I can't criticize the unlawful acts of our government in terms of violating, you know, basically violating the rights of people in at home and abroad. And people, you know how Gary Webb was murdered for telling the truth about how the CIA was heavily involved in drug trafficking. And the fact is, there are criminal elements of this system that believe and behave they're above the law. And that's why the two things we really need, we need to reinstate the Constitution before it was unlawfully changed at bayonet point, and we need to reinstate the lawful militia to hold the government accountable, because I can't trust the government to investigate itself. Does that make sense?
Well,
yeah, I know. It's one of those things. It's just a stupid speeding ticket. Why make an issue of this? And the issue is, I'm a man of conscience, and I can't, you know, as the comedian said, you know, I had the right to remain silent. And it's not me that I'm incriminating. I'm going to basically say there's something wrong. I'm not suggesting that you personally, as an individual in this system, are guilty. I'm saying we need to face facts that when fines and fees are a part of the budget, the people that are involved in this need to come clean, that the plutocracy believes and behaves that they're above the law. You agree with me in principle on that, right?
Have you read Lawfully Yours?
Is that your website?
Yeah, on my website there is a guide called Lawfully Yours.
Yeah.
And it, there is some description of what happens in these courtrooms. And
yeah.
You need to, before you prepare any speech for the judge, you need to understand you're in an administrative court that's administering law, merchant, and contract law.
Right.
He doesn't care about the money. He's there to look and see if you have contracted with them.
And if you have a driver's license, yeah.
Hold then you have. And
yeah,
if
well,
you,
the thing is, I do have a driver's license, but the thing is, I need it for my, I need it for Ubering. That's how I make money.
Okay, I'm not debating that. Okay, I'm not debating
that. Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. A lot of people have a driver's license. In fact, it's going to become increasingly more difficult to do anything without an identification card because of the war on terror and the passage of the Real ID Act.
Yeah.
However, you are still a flesh and blood man, and that court is a de facto corporate court.
Yes.
So before you go in there, understand that they're just, all they're doing is implementing statutory law, and you really, if you're a living flesh and blood man, you really aren't in their jurisdiction. So that's why I'm saying you ought to read that and decide what strategy you want.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing I would welcome your advice as to how to address this, but on my driver's license, which I really, you know, when I realized that this is color of law, they created a corporate fiction in my name without my knowledge, without my consent, said here's all these rules that we get to profit from. And I'm like, excuse me, I don't mind fines going to a victim's compensation fund. That's appropriate. But when it's a part of the budget to buy new equipment for the cops or whatever, but they need equipment. They need to get by with what they can afford like all the rest of us. And that, I know that sounds outrageous that the government should learn to get by with what they can afford like all the rest of us have to. But the thing is that on my driver's license, I wrote, in my signature area, I wrote ARR UCC 1-308. And that means my rights are reserved. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, you want to tell you what? I can send you the link to the video. You want to stand by?
Okay.
Are you going to get on to other callers or what?
Well, no, I wanted to say that is important what you did, and that's the angle in which you want to take your prayers and go back and say, what can I do with that? That's, you reserved your rights to forget the money for now in that courtroom. You reserved your rights to be a living flesh and blood man and not be obligated. Okay. Go down the
website.
with your thoughts. Try to look at that and see how you could work that into what you're going to do. Okay? And I do have other callers. Give it some thought and see if you can look at a different approach. You might have more success.
At my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy Cleaner's $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the Energy Cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the Energy Cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. We're back, and we're in the last segment of the show. I'm Al Whitney, and you're listening to the National Intel Report. I'm sitting in for John Stapmiller. Is my caller still there, Mike? No. That's Mark from Georgia. Okay. Let's take then Dave's God Green Earth. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Good evening. Hi. Yeah, it's great to hear you on the radio. You're so clear and simple, and it's very helpful what you brought forth.
Thank you.
Thank you, because I have four things I want to quickly get through. The first is the suspension of the Constitution. I think you've talked about it related to 3 and 9/11. Was it, were these emergency powers separate? And are they, I mean, is one more powerful than the other in terms of suspending the Constitution?
Well, the Constitution was suspended during the national emergency back in 1933. And at that point, the restrictions there were very few restrictions. In other words, when they did the Senate report in 1973, this is what they disclosed. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, which would be the emergency statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens. Now, that was in play from 33 until 76.
Did they say American citizens or U.S. citizens?
Pardon?
Does that say American citizens or U.S. citizens? I don't know of any American citizen, but a U.S. citizen, I've heard, and it does exist.
Well, they did refer to
it.
In that report, they did refer to American citizens. That's a fact. But you're right. It is U.S. citizens.
So what are they talking about? They don't know what they're talking about. We don't. It's absurd.
No, that's what's happened because, as you recall, they turned us into enemies of the state back in 33 to justify the confiscation of our gold. They couldn't take it unless we were enemies of the state. So, but in 1976, they tried to set some restrictions. And you can get a little bit of information by going to my website and reading that article I just told everyone about. I started the show with. Were you listening to that by any chance?
Well, I've heard you a number of times. I will go back and listen. I missed
okay,
the beginning.
I could tell you pretty quickly what that was. That law student did a pretty good job of explaining what they did to try to change these national emergencies and add some additional restriction to the White House. And let me give you the name, because if I give you the name of the article, my computer is not responding very rapidly. You can go to my website and find it, or you could probably type the name in your search engine and find it as well. So I have to get the computer to let me. I'm functioning on two computers right now.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I can get you the name of that. And that will do a better job of explaining what happened after 1976. Okay. The name of the article is Emergencies Without End, a Primer on Federal States of Emergency.
Okay.
Okay. And she did a pretty good job of explaining, and then she also added the fact that the president has the power to implement sanctions on other countries, which is how I opened the show, explaining that that's what Trump is being called to do and is doing.
Did the national emergency from 33 to that date, et cetera, have anything to do with limiting the Second Amendment?
Basically, I mean, that's if you've noticed before then, I don't think you had to register a gun. Now you have to register it. Before you didn't have to register your car. Now you have to register it. They didn't require you register your children until they brought in the Social Security Act. So when they made that change, they brought in all this licensing, certifying and registration, and they implemented that on the people. That was part of what they did.
All right.
Okay.
My next question is: would it be improper and incorrect for folks to be saying that they expect the Constitution to be upheld? They expect all these constitutional things, whereas it is suspended. Why would it be incorrect, therefore, for folks to be saying that they expect the Constitution to be upheld?
Yes, it would be a waste of breath. Now,
well, a lot of what is spoken on this network refers to that. I mean, it's absurd. If that is the case, people need to get up to speed.
Okay, you cannot ask them to uphold a constitution that's been suspended. Okay?
Right.
Because they're not functioning under constitutional law. They're functioning under law merchant. But if people wanted to say, we demand an end to the national emergency and a restoration of constitutional / common law, that would be more accurate. I'm not even remotely thinking they're going to do that, but that would at least right. be more accurate.
Right. Well, I hear many hosts, including the guy who runs the network, talking about this endlessly, and I call him and I say, you know, isn't this a suspended? I listened to Al Whitney. I don't know. Should we talk to, you know, Ralph Winterud about this? And let's figure it out, because so much airtime is wasted on something that is irrelevant. I mean, what you're saying is there's a way out. Come out from among them and be separate. You're giving away. And this is very valuable. But to be beating the air doesn't make any sense to me.
I talked to John. At one time I said to John, you know, it would be nice if all of us who are worried about the legal system and the way the government's functioning, if we all looked at the same book and spent time discussing the same book, because we're all looking under different rocks. And the right. book that I recommended that we all look at, which does an excellent job explaining almost everything I'm talking about, was written by attorney Melvin Stamper, and it's called Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. Unfortunately, when I spoke with Ralph Winterod, and I said, have you read Senate Report 93549? He had not. And I remember sending it to him, and I remember saying, Ralph, it'd be great if you would read this, because it explains what's happened. But he was not motivated, I don't believe, to do that. So his perspective, because he's not looking at the fact we're in a permanent state of national emergency, he's got a different perspective on things. Okay?
Right. And that's very limiting, I suspect. There's two other things I wanted to say. One was very interesting on the Robert Volk show last Sunday night. He played Obama and Trump talking about Syria, Assad, and Libya. He played them side by side. The message was exactly the same. It was so amazing, and it clearly supports the presumption that I've heard stated that these guys are just figureheads.
Yes.
they're doing yes. the same thing. It's just one of them looks good. He's very deceptive to all these right. conservatives.
Right. And you know, okay. what they do is they do surveys, and they do polls, and they try to figure out how the public is thinking, and then their speech writers write the speeches designed to make the public feel good.
Yeah, it's mind control.
It is mind control. Thank you very much. Very much so.
Yes. Okay. And the other thing is that the date that Bush number one gave his New World Order speech was 9/11, 1991. And this tells me something. Nothing happens by accident. These whole things were planned long in advance. That's what it said to me when I saw that. I mean, sometimes you get something from the spirit that tells you that this is significant. And whether you believe it or not, I'm just giving you the observation. So something we were talking about earlier.
If you would go and listen to that interview that I'm trying to encourage people here with Christopher Bolin. He goes back and he explains, listen to him, a lot of his YouTubes. He explains, does everybody remember the first attack on the World Trade Center in that underground parking lot? He explained how this thing had been planned well in advance, how they needed to control security, etc. He actually explained it was the same people who did that didn't fly, who went back and got more control of security, et cetera, and they got control of the courts, and they got control of, they brought in the neocons, they got control of whether or not there would be a hearing about 9/11. So by the time 9/11 happened, they were well protected because they put their players in the right place. It's fascinating. It's just freaking fascinating.
Very interesting. I should talk to you another time about U.S. citizen. You may have other callers.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe I'll call Saturday. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we have Gary from Arkansas.
Here. I'm here, and I can hear you fine. I have a question. Where is the American Constitution for USA, Inc.? Where is that document? Now, all corporations have to have a list of stockholders. Now, they have to have they're using the Constitution basically for their corporate, I don't know what they call that, rules. But where is the document? How many shares are issued under that document, and where did they go? I heard 100 shares were issued. Two of them went to individuals within the United States, and 98 of them went up abroad. And also, when the resources of this country are stolen or leased or whatever, sold, I meant, stole is a better word for it, actually, where does that money go? I mean, that's my resources. I'm one of we the people. These jokers in Washington just work for me.
Nope, not so, true. Not true. Not true. They.
Where do they go? Where is this document? How many shares were issued? Who were they issued to? I am totally disgusted with the idea that a foreign corporation under Title 36 is running this country, calling itself United States of America. And I'm also take affront to the idea that the CEO and the president of this USA Inc., which everybody agrees that that's what this country is, and they all agree it's a corporation, that the president of that, Trump, has to give up, along with all elected officials within the 10-mile square area, have to give up their American citizenship in order to become one of the gang of the USA Inc. or U.S. citizens. See? Now, I'm thinking that American citizen is that second passport that you can get for an American national. I think that separates you from a U.S. citizen. Otherwise, they wouldn't offer up two different types of passports. And my idea is, I'll let you talk just a second. My idea is that if you are an American national, these people working for these agencies are working for a U.S. entity, and since I do not claim to be a U.S. citizen, that they have no jurisdiction over me. And that also goes for my birth certificate as well. I want to know who has the original.
Well,
I'll let you talk.
Okay, go. That's going to require, we don't have time for a long answer. Go to the anticorruptionsociety.com, and at the top of the page is a bunch of links. Read the link, the page on notice of condition precedent. Okay? And then you will discover that the CEO of USA Inc., with an executive order, gave permission for the people of the states to determine their political, moral, and legal character. Take a read of that and see what you think, okay? We're running out of time, but you might find that enlightening. Because it is a complex, what they've done was really quite tricky and very deceptive.
I claim to be an American national. I want nothing to do with this U.S. crap.
Okay, well, go ahead and read that, and then see what. Let me know what you think. Okay, we're running out of time. We have maybe just enough time for George from Texas to add a thought, and then we'll go to break. George, are you there? Pardon?
No, can you hear me?
Is this George from Texas?
Yes.
Okay, hi.
How you doing? You know, I talked to a police officer recently, and I asked him the question. I said, you know, if I was collateralizing a person's car in a person's house to, collateralize my debt, should I go to jail? And he says, yeah. And he said, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, with property taxes and us registering our vehicles, you know, we're collateralizing the government's debt, because I don't really believe any of that money goes towards funding the government. It's going towards collateralizing the debt to put up a bond. Am I correct?
My sound went down. Could you start over? I'm sorry. I didn't hear it all.
I mean, you know, registering your vehicles and your property taxes, I mean, it's the government putting up a bond to collateralize the debt. And I really think we really need to, bring that up, bring that to the attention, because my state representative blocked me on Facebook when I said not one penny of property taxes goes towards funding the government. He didn't like that too much.
Well, the property tax situation might be different. The federal income taxes, when I referred to that in the beginning of the show, to go to their website, 31 question and answers about the Internal Revenue Service. Now, when it comes to the property tax, it depends on the state, but in my state, the property tax money is divided up and the schools get a big chunk of it. Okay? So,
yes.
I guess it depends which property tax, which taxes you're talking about as far as how it gets divvied up.
Well, I'm in Texas, so, and a guy from the tax collector's office says not one penny goes towards government services. I said, it says not one penny goes towards government services. It all goes to a bond.
Okay.
To collateralize the debt. Same thing with our vehicles. We collateralize our debt with the, Ralph Renderode even said it when we register our cars, government becomes a secured party and we become a debtor.
Well, and when you register your car, you're giving it to the state. You'd understand that. Okay,
yes.
So now the state owns the car, and that's why the state wants their plate on your car. Because once you registered it and you gave up that title, okay, and you gave it to them, they reissued it and gave you a certificate. But now the certificate is issued by them, the car is theirs. And that's how they come up with the authority to tell you what you can and cannot do when it comes to driving their car. Again, I'd like to go back and remind people to read Melvin Stamper's book, Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. And he does a pretty darn good job. In fact, he talks about property tax, allodial titles. He has a whole chapter on how that got changed.
Well, you know what? The thing is, my car's financed. We're getting ready to, finish the payment. And I'm writing a letter to the finance company saying I want the manufacturer's certificate of origin.
Try it. See if you can get it. I don't think you'll be able to get it. I think it's you won't be able to get it, but go for it. Ask for it.
Yes. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Okay, Thomas from Florida, are you there?
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
I didn't have anything to say, except I was wondering, do you actually have a contact email? Because I had something I wanted to send you.
Sure. You can send me an email at no more corruption. Just spell it out, run it all together. No more corruption at Wowway.com, and that's spelled W-O-W-W-A-Y. Wowway.
W-O-W-W-A-Y.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, yeah, I just wanted to send you something that I had here, which is interesting.
Okay, that'd be great. Well, we had some interesting callers tonight, and I hope they're getting a better idea what this permanent state of national emergency is. So when you hear the news and you hear that the president is doing this, that, or the other, and you've got a bunch of minions running around saying, oh, he can't do that, it's not constitutional, and why people have been running around making those claims probably your whole life, no matter who's in the White House, people are saying, well, he can't do that, it's not constitutional. I mean, you have to say that's because the Constitution is not the law of the land. We're in a national emergency, and the legal system has been replaced with law merchant, statutory law. Okay? It's all corporation, it's all commerce. On my show, I featured some of the works of E. Michael Jones, and I also recommend him. He talks a lot about the history, talks about what happened in our country when they created this flight to the suburbs, what happened to our cities. He's got a lot of good information, but he, one of the recent interviews he did, he admitted somebody was making some comment, and he laughed at them, and he says, are you kidding me? You think that that's going to happen? He said, this country is a commercial enterprise. I'm surprised people don't see that. And I was happy to hear that he recognized it. It's a commercial enterprise. They're all corporations. What do corporations do? They engage in contracts. They engage in contracts. So they want you to contract with them. And they make it so if you don't get a driver's license and contract with them, then they want to punish you for not having that driver's license. Because if you're a U.S. citizen, the rules for the U.S. citizens are you have to have a driver's license. Okay? A lot of people I know, I work in some of these legal groups, and I talk to an awful lot of people who've been researching this for years. They still are convinced somehow they're going to drive without a driver's license. And I tell them all the time, in theory, you may be right. However, when they pass the National ID Act, which is being enforced and will be enforced across all 50 states, there's no question about that. They already had warnings up at the airport in Ohio that if you had a driver's license from a state that had not passed the National ID Act, ultimately, they weren't going to allow you to fly commercial airlines. You say, how can they do that? And I'm going to tell you, because they control the airways. Okay? The Federal Aviation Commission controls the airways. Okay, are we going to break, or the show is about done? Is that right? Mike? Oh, okay, sorry, we're out of time. Tune in on Saturday night, people, and see what I have to say on my next show. Thanks so much. I appreciated this opportunity, and I hope John feels better. Good night.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.